It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the show. And this show talks about a lot of things. One of the things we talked about last week was the frequency of which we went to Chipotle. Mostly because I saw Christina from Webster, who works at Chipotle, in a commercial. You've seen her, whether it be an ad on Twitter or TV, or maybe you've seen her in the movie theater. Chipotle is running ads using their current employees to promote their products, much like Chick-fil-A does. And I will say Christina from Webster's never shortchanged me on chicken or rice or beans or cheese. She's been straight up with me. Can't complain about what the people at Chipotle do when it comes to giving me my proper portions. And that is what Brian Nickel, who is the CEO of Chipotle, wants you to know. I know some people film the part-time workers there to try to make them give you the portion you think is appropriate, which I would say, relax. Take the camera out of their face. Just ask them if you think you didn't get enough, and they are more than willing to give you more rice. Of course, if you ask more chicken, that'll cost you, but more rice is free. More beans, free. You want a little extra cheese? You're good. Put the phone down and just ask. It's easy. They're not trying to screw you over. Brian Nickel, their CEO, says, hey, we're all about giving you good portions. This is his response to your concerns.
First, I can tell you the portions have not gotten smaller. One of the things I think it's great about Chipotle is if you come into the restaurant and you want a little more rice or you want a little more pico, all you got to do is kind of like, and usually our guys and women, give them a little more scoop. You know, we always want to give people big portions that get them excited about the food. It's kind of who we are. I mean, these are big burritos. These are big bowls. Our goal is to give people great experiences. Now, if you want double the amount of meat, you got to pay for it. Our goal is to get people really excited about what I believe is really delicious food.
Look what you people have done. You've got this guy with that, I don't know, upbeat music behind him talking about the company motto and their, like and their strategies commercial about how they serve you. Look, I appreciate Chipotle. You want to put it in the fast food category? Cool. I'm not saying I'm excited to go there. I go there because I want something quick and I'm hungry. I don't know if I've ever been excited
the food
about
doesn't
it.
Excite
it doesn't
me.
Excite me no matter how much food you put in it. I mean, maybe because I'm an adult. Maybe I'm older. So food and the level of portion doesn't excite me anymore. Like, that's a kid thing. Look how much rice I got. No. What am I, a child? But I do appreciate you coming out, Brian Nickel, and telling us that the Chick-fil-A guys and girls aren't trying to screw us.
Yeah, the good cat, good CEO. There's two certified CEO moments.
Certainly.
At least two. One was, yeah, our guys and girls will treat you right, whatever. And then the other one where he's like, yeah, if you want a little bit more rice, pico, whatever, like, all you have to do is like, hey, can I ask? Can I get a little more?
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, not to suck up to the Chipotle CEO, has been my strategy. Every time I go, I just go, hey, can I get a little bit more?
Yeah. And they're like, you know what? Sure.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a pushback on any of you when you asked for a little bit more rice? Sure. As he mentioned, you got to pay for the protein extra.
That's the second CEO moment where he's like, now this rice, yes, you beans, whatever. You can have those. The steak, you're going to have to pay for.
Yeah. Don't go up to your local Chipotle and go, hey, bro. The CEO said I could get extra chicken.
It's a little bit more.
No, you pay for that, and it's fine. I think you people should be ashamed of yourselves for driving him to do this, to let everyone know that they're out to make sure you have the best experience possible. Get excited about that chicken. Get excited about that steak, that barbacoa. Chick-fil-A's there for you. They want you to have a big burrito.
I say that you should be, if you're filming the Chipotle workers, you should be ashamed of yourself for filming the Chipotle workers. And, you know, those kids don't care. Like, they just want to get their shift over with. I do like that the CEO has to do an ad campaign with, like, again, the high upbeat, like at the end of a Cialis commercial, where they're in the tubs next to each other. It's like that kind of music behind them, being like, "Yeah, if you want more Pico, just ask." I like that. I like that. His day got ruined for one. Yeah. Day, at least
he,
one day.
He had
got
to go
ruined.
Put on a suit and film that dumb commercial or
learn
dumb
line.
PSA
yeah.
about how you should act in a line when you're requesting food. Just ask for more.
Just ask for more.
A little
That's
bit.
All
we're good.
Asking.
Thanks. We're good.
Put the camera away.
Yeah, exactly. Not that serious. So thank you to Brian Nickel for informing us that just be polite and you'll get you your extra rice. And Art says something. Do Americans really need bigger portions?
That's fair point. Fair point, Art.
Yes.
I've never had a Chipotle burrito where I was like, this feels small.
Yeah.
They treat me right. Maybe it's just the one I go to. Maybe it's because I'm a regular.
Look, I know some of you hipsters who like to still go to Freebirds because you like a cayenne tortilla, whatever. Look, Freebirds is an option too. I don't know if you decide that Chipotle has done too much and they've lost your business. If you can find one of the Freebirds still around, it's there for you too. There are options. I want people to film the Freebirds people and see how that goes. I bet you their CEO doesn't come out and say anything.
I want them to... Like, thank God there's people here. I want people to film Waffle House employees. That's what I want. See how well that goes.
Well, if you want that phone shoved down your throat, go film a Waffle House employee.
That's what I'm saying about these Chipotle workers.
They're polite.
They're very nice.
Yeah. You are lucky. We've seen the viral videos of what happens when you test a fast food worker.
Some of these places, the Popeyes, they'll hop the counter.
Hey, what you doing with that phone?
Yeah.
And it's over for you at that point.
Yeah.
Because the other employees are going to stop that person from beating your ass. So relax. Just walk the line, get your food,
yeah.
Say thank you, and ask for chips if you want some.
That's what the CEO is saying. He's like, be lucky that we have some very, very even keel workers.
Yeah. I mean, because if you want me to hire enforcers, I'll go to Popeyes.
Yeah. Hey, maybe Chipotle and the Indiana Fever can learn the same lesson of you need some enforcers.
The undertone is next time you whip that phone out, you're not getting it back.
Mm-mm.
I'm dropping it on the grill.
We're gonna go to Chipotle later,
and we're
gonna
get
be screwed. Matt Barnes behind the just standing with his arms folded.
What do you want?
Yeah, Charles Oakley.
Can I have some extra chicken, please?
Hmm.
Yes, you can, but. Keep it polite. So I thank you guys for providing the ammunition for that clip, because it's the only reason he did it, to respond to the notion that Chipotle has fallen off and they're screwing people. Brian Nickel, you are a great American from the University of Chicago. What's next on this show? Sean has been tasked with providing the song for our college football talk. We're going to get more and more into the sport as we get deeper into the summer. There is a funny, at least to us, because we find plenty of things funny, cover for Dave Campbell's magazine that Sean found interesting. So we'll talk about that next. And also, who should be in the College Football Hall of Fame? There are a couple players who, at least after looking at the list of people who've been waiting a long time, seem like, what the hell are we doing? We'll get to that when we come back. But Sean will bring us back with what he thinks should represent this show when we talk about college football. So we'll get to that. We'll get more into the Astros as well. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We're back, and Sean has chosen the, I would say, best college football theme song on any network ever. This is, look, I know people associate this with the SEC on CBS, but this was the song long before then. This was the song when Notre Dame and Miami were playing in the 80s.
It'll be the song this year when
Indiana's playing Purdue.
When they're showing Big Ten games.
Yes. When Texas was playing Arkansas, when they're still in the Southwest Conference, Brent Musburger was on the call. This was the song. For maybe some of you Gen Zers or maybe you younger millennials, you just remember 2:30 on CBS. Hasn't always been the case.
An ad popped up in the middle of the YouTube thing.
Understood.
That's why it cut off.
Did you want to fade
back in 5 seconds?
Do you want to fade it down until the song comes back, or did you want to have the ad play? I don't know. It's your choice. There it is. There it is. We might just download that at some point to avoid that scenario.
For version 2, we'll
yes,
be downloading.
It's a new segment on the show where we just talk about college football as we get closer and closer to camps and the season. Week 0 is late August, so we are not that far away. Just have to get through this summer, and Sean and I will use a certain college football game to help us.
Really, just have to get through this month.
That's true, because the college football game comes out in July. Sean has confirmed that he will be out the week it comes, at least the Tuesday of that week, going through the rest of the week. He'll show up Monday because the game doesn't drop till like Monday night.
Yeah.
I feel like because my day ends at like 12:30, I can just show up here and then go home and play. And the other thing is I don't want to deal with the John and Lance portion of it. Maybe Glenn George wouldn't care as much, but if I got to deal with an entire week of them slandering me and then come back to it, it's not worth it, particularly, as I said, when I can get out of here at 12:30 and go home and play. Be home by 1:15 playing the game. Cool. So I'll be here. Sean won't. I'm sure it'll be a number of potential part-timers, but it's cool. We start off with the cover of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Summer Magazine. And the two gentlemen on the college version of it, there's a high school version, of course, a couple of big coaches in high school football. The cover athletes for the college football version are Quinn Ewers and Connor Wegman. They're facing off against each other in their uniforms, and in the center of them says, "Rivalry Reborn," because credit to those two schools for waiting over a decade until a conference mandated that they play, despite, you know, the thoughts from administrators and even some of the fans of the team. Oh, we don't need that school. We don't need that school. Hey, you know what's great? Rivalries. And it took Texas jumping into the SEC for the rivalry to return. And if I'm Quinn Ewers, I'm like, I deserve my own cover. And if I'm going to not get my own cover, Connor Wegman shouldn't be the guy I'm looking at. I know people think sometimes poorly about me. Hell, the guy who does this show thinks Quinn Ewers is mid. Well, both guys do the show think he's mid, let's be clear. But he's better than Connor Wegman. I don't know why Connor Wegman's on the cover. What has Connor Wegman done to get on the cover other than be the quarterback at A&M? Be QB1 because he's the default QB1, so he's on the cover. There's no reason for him to be on that cover.
Yeah, normally they do, or not normally, but some years they'll just do, like, it's the four best players that are in the state of Texas.
Sure.
So it'll be, you know, a TCU player, a Texas player, an A&M player, and a Baylor player. You know, so just another guy. You know, Ed Oliver when he was in Houston.
Yeah.
Like, this one, I get what they're doing.
Yeah, we understand.
You got to have Texas and Texas A&M on the cover. It makes sense that it's the quarterbacks. It's just when you actually put the quarterbacks next to each other, you're just like, oh, yeah, Quinn Ewers and Connor Wegman.
If we're throwing Connor Wegman on the cover, throw Donovan Smith on the cover, the Houston quarterback.
Yeah.
Throw it on the cover. Wegman, I know people think highly of him. Yeah, he was okay until he got hurt last year. After watching him, well, first in the spring game, then the rest of the year, I was like, okay, I don't get what people are saying as far as the hype. But he is A&M's number one option. We'll see what he is, if he can finish the year. But those two are on the cover of Dave Campbell magazine. And it's supposed to evoke images of Vince Young on the cover with, what was it, Reggie McNeil.
Yeah.
Once again, if I was Vince Young, I'd say, what the hell is Reggie McNeil doing here? Because this was following Vince Young winning the first Rose Bowl before he went on to win a national title. He was great in that Rose Bowl. We kind of forget about it because of what he did the following season and then to win the title against what was once considered the best football team of all time until, you know, they couldn't get a 4th-and-1. And Reggie Book is tricking off by throwing laterals to fullbacks like early in the game. If I'm Vince Young, get Reggie McNeil off my cover. What's he doing here?
Yeah, I don't know what the... Because this one, again, if it's Rivalry Reborn, got it. Cool. I don't know. They played in 2004.
Yeah,
they're going to play in 2005.
They played plenty. It wasn't Rivalry Reborn.
They played every year. Back then, it was unthinkable that they wouldn't play.
Yeah. I think after that Rose Bowl performance, Vince Young deserved his own cover. Give him that. He couldn't even get his own cover, let alone win the Heisman.
They should go back and give Photoshop
Reggie Vino off the cover. Sure. That would be fair to Vince Young. So, Texas, Texas A&M, they play.
Yes.
For the first time, what, since 2011?
11.
When Justin Tucker had the great send-off, at least if you're a Texas fan, he did. Who was the quarterback?
Case McCoy
versus Ryan Tannehill, right?
I think that was Tannehill.
Because Tannehill got drafted in 12, I think.
Then that was Tannehill.
Yes. The year of Vince, it was the year of Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
And then, oh yeah, Tannehill's over there too, getting drafted in the first round. Nice job, Dolphins. Congratulations to my team for doing that. But that rivalry is back. Let's move on to another story. College football is coming, so the Hall of Fame voting is happening. And a couple of the names involved who have been on the list a long time but aren't in the College Football Hall of Fame. I'll read off the list, and Sean, who do you think should be in, or at least is most deserving of being in?
Okay.
Kellen Moore, Antoine Randolel, Eric Weddle, Haloti Ngata, Monty Ball, the running back of Wisconsin, Peter Wark, the wide receiver from Florida State, Kajana Carter, and then Simeon Rice. Of those names, who is a long, I guess, suffering finalist that isn't in the Hall of Fame should be on there first? Who should be in there first?
Well, the first name that you said, Kellen Moore, I'm a little surprised that he's not in already. Because he doesn't he... Or no, Bo Nix broke the record. But he had the most wins as for a quarterback in college football history. I feel like if it's a college football Hall of Fame, the guy who's won the most should be in there. So that I honestly that's the first one that I was like, huh?
I would say most.
He's not the best player.
No,
to be fair,
mainly probably because of my focus on the rivalry. But Peter Wark's not in the college football Hall of Fame.
That too.
At one point, the scandals off the field that got him suspended for a couple games, he was the most exciting player in college football. The returns, playing wide receiver, he was, I would say, Reggie Bush before Reggie Bush. Now, there have been others, Desmond Howard, way back before, but as far as guys who were multi-purpose, could do it in the return game, could do it at their position, Peter Wark was that dude. As much as I hated to admit it because he played for a team I couldn't stand and still can't stand, he helped them win a national title in 1999, and in 1998, after their quarterbacks got hurt, he was one of the reasons they made it to the title game. They were on their third string guy, and he made play after play after play to get them to that title game. The fact that Peter Wark isn't in the College Football Hall of Fame is crazy to me. Just look up, just go, if you don't remember him or were too young, just type in Peter Wark Florida State highlights on YouTube, and you're like, wait a minute, this guy's not in the College Football Hall of Fame? What are we doing? Simeon Rice probably is a guy I would think about too, but mine at the top of the list is Peter Wark. That's a crazy thing. He hasn't played a college football game since, I guess, January 2000. Over 20 years, and he isn't in a college football Hall of Fame? I don't get that one. Kellen Moore is one too.
I realize we did just do like a generation gap thing right there.
Probably. You picked Kellen Moore.
I picked a guy who played in 2010.
I picked a guy who played when I was growing up, yes. Yeah. Peter Wark was that dude. I just know because...
Kellen Moore was that dude.
A little different type of dude. He was a soft-tossing lefty quarterback who was efficient.
In the whack.
Yes. Or was it the Mountain West? Yes, or was it the whack? Peter Wark was going on to go to two straight title games. And if not for Chris Winkie being his quarterback, might have been considered for the Heisman beyond, you know, getting suspended for games. And the Heisman cared about that stuff. They kind of still do. So... that's our college football segment. We won't do that every day, but we'll do it. And Sean, if I was going to pick a song, I would have picked a song too. I did give Sean the parameters of not picking the Texas fight song.
No, I wouldn't have.
That was the only parameter I gave him.
You know, because of the recent controversy surrounding it. I guess not recent anymore, actually.
It's no, not
4
anymore.
Years. It was Tom Herman's last stand. I was thinking about looking up what the college football playoff songs have been in the past, because I remember, especially the first few years of the playoff, they would just overplay those, like, every commercial break when they would tease, like, the college football, like, the ranking show on Tuesday night. It would always be, like some Imagine Dragons song, and I just couldn't...
True.
I just didn't know how to look up, like, what Imagine Dragons songs was being played all the time. But then I felt like I would have to explain it, because you'd just be like, why are you just playing an Imagine Dragons song?
Yeah, what the hell? Are you? Did you just pull up a playlist on your phone? What's this about? So, like I said, we'll continue to do that throughout the summer as the season approaches. Coming up, we'll talk about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud spoke quite a bit. Even beyond him being on podcasts, he will stand in front of the media and speak his thoughts. So he talked about Nico Collins. He talked about the challenge of this offense and all the weapons and how he will meet that challenge. We'll talk about C.J. Stroud when we come back and hear from him as well. But before we do that, we are going to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. I like to talk about repiping, but Aqueduct Plumbing is more than that. Repiping is a big job, and certainly you're going to need it if you are getting dirty and smelly water. You don't want it in your home, and it might be the cause of a leak too, but maybe you are simply dealing with a leaky faucet or a bad water heater. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is a place for you to go when you need something repaired like that as well. They do big jobs, they do smaller jobs, but what you have to remember is they are experts in their field, excellent local contractors looking to help people in the community get their house right. And you know what? You can go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com to check out all their services, but if you want to call them and get a free price quote, which is the best in town, the number is 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238. I mentioned they're local. Billy Brown's a Clear Lake guy. So these people are based here. They want to help you. They want to keep your home protected from potential gas leaks. They do gas piping. They do reroutes. They do water filters. They clean your drains. So anything you need in plumbing, Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the place for you. Check them out at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. The Texans are in the middle of mandatory practice, mandatory OTAs. So, nothing's voluntary anymore. You start to get fined if you don't show up. How much you practice is a different story, but at least be in camp. So, they're doing that right now. C.J. Stroud spoke to the media yesterday after a practice with Nico and Tank and Stephon Diggs. Some people were excited about what they might see from Stephon Diggs. Saw him in motion a couple times and were like, Bobby Slowick cooking it up in 7-on-7s. Okay, sure. Okay. I think we, in like just a practice when it was just CJ and Joe Mixon trying to get their timing down, Joe Mixon came from the slot. So it was more of an end around. And people were like, ooh, look at that. Look what Bobby Slowick's doing out there. All right, sure. Okay. We're excited about all the weapons the Texans have. One of the weapons who got paid this offseason was Nico Collins. C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins, their connection was great the back half of the year, particularly after Tank Dell went down, helped the team get the playoffs. We know. Great success in year one led to Nico's deal. C.J. is very high on Nico Collins. Here's what he said about Nico getting his money and what he thinks of Nico as a player after yesterday's practice.
His number is called. He always makes a play. And, you know, he's a generational talent, man. He's like our age is Andre Johnson, in my opinion, of just how fast he is, how he gets in and out of his braces, releases, how strong he is. And I think last year was just a preview to what is to come for him. And one thing I'm proud of him for is just the work has never stopped. He's constantly in here working on his body, constantly in here working on his hands, his mobility in the weight room, you know. So, for me, I mean, just having a true, I think we have like 5 number ones, you know, so that's kind of cool to have. And I've had that before in college, and now I'll have it again.
So, Sean, you heard that clip. Which do you find, all right, let CJ cook type stuff, the generational player, generational talent that Nico Collins is, the comparison to Andre Johnson, or they have 5 number one options? Which one do you think, all right, he up there cooking. Which one would you find at the what would you put at the top of the cooking list?
I have to pick one.
Yes. He's cooking at all of them, but what would you put at the top of the list?
I guess generational talent, Nico Collins, because that's at least not a direct comparison to Andre Johnson.
That's the one you're going to let him cook with.
Okay, you can have generational talent.
Okay.
You can have, yes, his size, his speed. Yes. Okay. Sure. Five number ones, what are we talking about?
Is he including like Joe Mixon as a pass catching option? So, Dalton Schultz, John Metchie, what's he talking about?
So I'm thinking the big three. I'm thinking.
Okay. The big three, that's what we're calling them. Okay.
I mean, Tank.
They're top three, sure.
Collins, Diggs. It has to be Schultz.
And who else? Metchie? Woods? Brown? Who's he talking about? Is it Metchie?
Maybe Metchie.
Maybe he's leaning into his young guy. Maybe it's Metchie.
He's our generation's Chris Carter. I mean, that's not that ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
No, I mean, he called Nico Collins Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
I think you should do that with every player on the Texans roster.
Who's Tank Dell then? Our generation's who?
Well, that's hard.
Kiki Kuti?
I was going to say, all
all the slot really, receivers aren't
really
that great.
It's really our generation that has these tiny receivers.
Yeah.
Used to have to be a man to play in the NFL.
That's right. It's no longer a man's game.
He's our generation's Wes Walker.
Stephon Diggs is our generation's Stephon Diggs. He's played long enough where
he's not our generation.
He could have been someone else's generation, too. Stephon Diggs. So
Dalton Schultz, our generation's Jason Witten.
Former Cowboy Jason Witten.
White.
Well, the white tight end.
Dependable.
Sure.
Well, Joe Mixon. Our generation's Adrian Peterson.
All right. Relax. They have the same number, but relax.
OU.
True.
Off the field stuff.
Different types of off the field stuff,
physical,
but yes.
Off the field.
Yes.
Physical runners.
I think we'd all hope that Joe Mixon leaves the physicality to in between the lines. That'd be great. So I don't fault CJ for feeling great about himself. We know he's a confident player. He loves to be in conversations. He's on podcasts. He big ups his guys. You don't knock him for it. But you know, the first day after mandatory OTAs, Nico Collins is Andre Johnson. Five number ones. Generational player. All right. Okay.
I will say this about CJ Stroud. I like that he tells you what he's thinking. He doesn't, like with the podcast that he's on, that he's a guest on, where they ask him a question.
And he
does
an
not answer. He does not answer in the politically correct way where you're like, you know, both quarterbacks are great. For me to be even one, you know, with the Aaron Rodgers. Was it Rodgers or Eli Manning?
You'd rather have Eli's career.
Yeah. Most QBs would be like, man, that's hard. You know, they're just so both great. Both future Hall of Famers. People say that Eli Manning isn't going to be a Hall of Famer. That's great. That's normally how people answer.
Sure.
He goes, man, Eli. Like, he's just like, man, give me the rings.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if some of it's informed by getting close in college and not getting it done. He had a great game against Georgia, elevated his draft status, and he played well enough to win that game and go to a title game. And he has a loss against Michigan too, so maybe there's part of that too, where he didn't have a Big Ten title on his resume. I think Michigan beat him both years he started. Maybe he won one when he wasn't playing, in a non-starting role. Forgot how that might have gone, the timeline. But yeah, he's come close to winning. And he hadn't got it done. Had a big Rose Bowl, certainly. And so he's played well in the postseason, just couldn't win the Big Ten title. So I would get him saying, the titles mean more than maybe the career accolades or maybe the accolades that people heap on Aaron Rodgers, the greatest star of football of all time, the numbers, the MVPs. Aaron Rodgers does have the one, but Eli has two, and that's great if it means more to CJ, the team success. And what else did he say? He thinks Stafford would have 3-4 if he was put in Aaron Rodgers' position.
Yeah, if they, I guess, swap spots.
Detroit and Green Bay, I guess. Yeah.
That Rodgers. I listen, I'm a Stafford guy. Long time Stafford guy. 3-4. We were talking about on Galan George yesterday. Other than Brady and Mahomes, basically nobody since
Montana,
Troy Aikman has won 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah, Brady, Mahomes, Aikman, Montana. Elway only got the 2 late in his career, and that was later in his career.
Yeah, then you have to go back to Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Like, you get to the 70s very fast when you're talking about winning 3 or 4 Super Bowls.
That's
so,
that's a lot of titles.
If you want to say he would have won 2, okay.
How many franchises?
I'll let you cook.
Have 3 Super Bowl wins. Now we're giving it to one individual quarterback over the course of NFL history.
Again.
And it's Matt Stafford, who's a talented player. CJ talked about getting his no-look stuff. The passes he tries with from Stafford, but I don't know if Stafford would have been able to beat San Francisco. we know Aaron Rodgers had issues with that. I don't know if Stafford's the difference in that game, in those games.
Maybe
I'm not
like
sure.
He doesn't choke against Seattle.
Seattle, yeah, that too. Well, I mean, was Stafford going to be on the onside kick team?
Yeah.
In that scenario,
he's a better teammate, so he lifts all the boats. So
okay,
his
energy and attitude would have made
Hank Basket or whoever it was will catch. No, wait, that was the
that's the guy. Hank Basket's the one who's dating or married to Kendra Wilkinson, the Playboy model. I think
I forgot who the
was. It a Rodgers? Wasn't it another Rodgers? Like he was on the onside kick coverage team and didn't cover the ball, muffed it or something.
Was it Will Rodgers?
Maybe Roy.
Roy Rogers?
I don't remember that. Roy Rogers is a different person altogether.
Amari Rogers? No, I don't know.
We don't know. I think it was a Rogers. But yeah, 3-4 is a lot. That's a lot of Super Bowl wins for Matt Stafford, no matter how much you like him.
Honestly, it was, until this year, it was kind of a lot to give to Pat Mahomes. After the first Super Bowl, if you're like, 3-4 for Pat Mahomes, you'd be like, winning in this league is hard. We'll see. We'll see. And now he's gotten his 3rd, so it's a little different now, but 3-4.
Richard Rodgers is the name of the tight end in question.
Rodgers.
How do we not remember that?
Choker.
Cover a football, Richard. And the Packers might be going to a Super Bowl. Well, they probably would have on that occasion. Who knows if they would have won it or not. We have a couple segments. Actually, just one segment to go before we wrap
by.
It up. Yes, flown by.
First
back.
First time in a while.
Yeah, we hadn't done this in a little while. And I slandered Richard Rodgers. It was not his fault. It was another tight end in question. A Brandon Bostic, it looks like.
I'm sure Brandon Bostic is super glad that we took time to get his name right.
Sorry, man.
He was like, no, Hank Basket was fine. You could come.
Blame Richard, too. I don't care. Just not me. It was Brandon Bostic who did not recover the onside kick, and it cost the Packers a chance to go to a Super Bowl. Sorry, Brandon. Just got to be as accurate as we can. One more segment to go. We'll reveal some of the things Dana Brown said in his weekly interview with 790. We'll get into a couple other things, including bullying working when it comes to Angel Hernandez. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
The Astros get going this afternoon as they try to wrap up a sweep against these Cardinals. Ronel Blanco on the mound tonight against Mikolas. I said tonight. I just told you the afternoon, then I say tonight. At 1:10, Blanco versus Mikolas as the Astros try to get that sweep. Dana Brown spoke earlier today on the injuries with Urquidy and Javier. They're both going to undergo elbow surgery. The Astros aren't calling them Tommy John surgeries. The extent or the type of surgery will be determined once the surgery takes place. So, officially, elbow surgery. We'll see after they get in there what type of surgery takes place. The thought is, at least all the reporting leading up until the Astros statement, is that both are going to undergo Tommy John. Urquidy and Javier will have them this week. So we know they're done for the 2024 year. Will they come back in 2025? That probably is going to be determined by the surgery that takes place. On Kyle Tucker, once he starts to feel good walking, there'll be an update on when he'll come back and play. They hopefully think he can come back and play this weekend. It's a deep bone bruise. The x-rays are negative, so hopefully this weekend. But he is still not walking well. So we're at a point where Kyle Tucker will likely not come back until Friday at the earliest. If he can, maybe he considers Sunday the start of the weekends. Not sure, but Kyle Tucker's still dealing with that foul ball off his shin. And it looked like it hurt. We heard it from him that it hurt. So it'll be a little bit, but don't fear. It won't be an extended amount of time, just dealing with pain right now. I mentioned Angel Hernandez. Angel Hernandez retired from baseball, abruptly put out a statement that he was done, and the baseball world rejoiced. It's not often that happens. Look, I don't know that umpires should be announcing their retirement anyway. For the most part, we just want you to be silent and really someone we don't even know your name. Because if that's the case, that means you haven't screwed this team over, and you're doing your job. We don't want to know the names of the umpires. We don't want them to be part of the story. Unfortunately for Angel Hernandez and the teams that were involved in his games, he became part of the story more often than he should have been. Well, Jeff Passan is reporting that bullying, online bullying, led to, or at least partly led to, Angel Hernandez saying, "I don't want to do this anymore." Another example of bullying working. Bullying generally isn't a good thing, but if it got rid of Angel Hernandez and all of you guys taunting him, I'm going to credit you. I've never talked about Angel Hernandez online. Seems like a waste of time. Didn't think it would matter. We know he's bad. MLB knew he was bad, just did nothing about it. He got to go out on his own terms, kind of. But but all the talk about him, he had had enough. I don't know that I've ever heard that about anyone before. Like, I know Paul George talked about his mental health because of online chatter about his performances, but I've never heard anyone blame bullying for walking away from the game. Even Jonathan Martin, when he was bullied in the Dolphins locker room, didn't retire.
How wrong you were not tweeting about Andrew Hernandez thinking it didn't matter.
You're right. Apparently, it should have started.
Super mattered. The only other time I can remember this, way back in November of 2023, when wasn't that more or less the reason gave by Dusty Baker for
the bloggers? He was tired of the
more
comments.
Or less what he was getting at was all the hate he was getting on the internet streets. So.
Do we believe that, or do we believe the Astros said, "We really would rather you not come back"?
We'd love to give this job to Joe Espada.
Yeah, look how that's played out. I'm not blaming Espada. Just if you're Dusty Baker backer, that's part of your narrative right now. I think Dusty can use that, but I think Dusty just wanted to take a shot at the bloggers. That's why he called them bloggers.
He's also 75 years old.
Yeah.
I think
how many blogs is he reading?
I think at a certain point, you don't have to come up with a reason to why a person retires. If they're 75 years old, I think they retired because they're old.
Yeah.
I don't know. Call me crazy.
And the people who hired you in the first place are tired of you. They wanted to go in a different direction, you know, despite all the success. For whatever reason, they were done with you. And I think he just wanted to mention one more time how he didn't like some of the opinions being thrown his way.
Get one last one off.
Yeah.
Being like, by the way, Chandler Rome, bleep you.
But I won't say that. Yeah. I'll just mention people who were writing about me don't know much about baseball.
I think he even said, like, bloggers in their 30s.
Chandler Rome's like, I write for The Athletic, not a blogger.
Yeah.
I know it's online, but I'm not a blogger. I'm a beat writer. And this is Jeff Passan, some of his full comments on why Angel Hernandez decided he was done. He got tired of the social media firestorm that exists. This is me jumping in. Well, if you were better at your job, it wouldn't exist. Frankly, I will acknowledge this is understandable because there are parts of his job where he was genuinely bad. Thanks, Jeff. And it was magnified by the ubiquity of baseball and social media now, and how every time you would do something wrong, it would get put out there and then would almost just compound upon itself. You just had this echo chamber of Angel Hernandez awfulness that I think in the end wound up being part of his undoing. You know how he could have changed all that? Be better. Don't be so awful.
There's two ways. Be better or just don't go online.
Yeah, that too. So there are a couple ways. We always saw Angel Hernandez operated under, bleep all you guys. I'll do what I want. No, even he succumbed to the online questioning of his abilities.
Well, he was that in on the diamond. He was a bleep you, I got that right, despite the evidence, the mounting evidence that I got it wrong.
Yeah.
But on online, he was like, man, this hurts my feelings.
You would think the face-to-face...
Man, Vin DeBose won't stop tweeting about
me. You would think the face-to-face confrontations from MLB players would have been the thing that drove him away. No. But no, the online criticism, every day at his job, there was an undertone of Angel sucks. And it wasn't coming from online. It was coming from the people on the field. But yet, online got to him.
Yeah. It was Astros fans 69-420 that got to him. What?
Not Bregman yelling at him about missing a call.
Three times a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, whatever it takes, right? Whatever it took to get him out of here, the job was done.
Yeah. If Mark Zuckerberg never invented Facebook,
Hernandez would be here forever. But the invention of the internet and social accounts, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or X, whatever you call it now, got him out of here. He didn't have one more in him, Sean.
No, he did not.
Didn't even have one more game in him. Effective immediately, he retired.
He should have done a retirement tour. Do you think it was Instagram or Twitter or Facebook? Because they say social media, right?
Yeah.
I just want to know which one.
It had to be Twitter. Are people using Instagram to attack Angel Hernandez? Reels, maybe, I guess.
Is Angel Hernandez on Twitter? Why is he on Twitter?
You know, he's got to have a burner, right?
Why? Or maybe he made one, and then he name searched himself, and he's like, "Oh, people hate me. Cool."
You know, the other thing at play is maybe Jeff Passan's talking out of his ass. We don't know. I don't know.
Jeff Passan just wants to throw red meat out for baseball Twitter, just to be like, "Hey, just so you know, this works. Keep it up. Keep up the maniacal tweeting."
Yeah, I don't know that Angel Hernandez gave him a quote. Maybe he had inside information from others close to Hernandez, but he never says Angel Hernandez said this. He just says, I think in the end, wound up being part of his undoing. So maybe Jeff Passan knew or knows, maybe he doesn't. But yes, the social media campaign against Angel Hernandez never quieted down. And according to one baseball insider, it's the reason why, or one of the reasons why, he no longer is doing this job.
Maybe it was like Rob Manfred just brought him into his office one day and was like, listen,
man.
Enough's enough.
But why not do it before the year? Why wait till part way through the year to say enough's enough?
Maybe it'd get better? I don't know.
It's been 20 years of not getting better.
Maybe there's one viral tweet that he's like, listen, this is too far.
Guys, you can say bleep this, bleep that, but you went too far questioning my...
Drewski is on our ass.
Wait a minute. the guy who does that Alabama bits on our ass?
He doesn't even watch baseball. What the hell?
And he found a way. And it's got 2 million views. We're done for the day. And by we, I mean me. Because after the big three, it's just me. By the big three, I mean Sean and whoever else is walking around out there. Because really, this is just the two of us. We've got Gallant and George up next. And then the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.